Cuff could not have coped with agents. There was one agent who he's just looks after Gary Lineker and a few of the great broadcasters.
Yeah, now, yeah, I know.
Called John Holmes, a lifelong friend of mine. I used to do my finances actually before he became an agent. He took McAllister, Gary McAllister, to meet Clough with a view to signing, and Clough behaved so badly that Holmes and McAllister just walked out and never signed for him. But he wouldn't have been able to cope with agents.
He did come out with some amazing quotes, and there was the relationship that you had with him. Mm. You talk about this handful of trusted media. That UEFA Cup game against Slovan Bratislava, where he took your dad into the dressing room and introduced him to the team. I mean, it's littered with lovely moments, very personal, highly personal moments.
Yeah, my father flew in the slowest plane in the war. Only 8% survived, did 40 raids. He'd come back off a day's bombing and find... after a day's leave and find that his crew and the plane had been destroyed. It was just a matter of luck in the war. Anyway, he was to die at 62, unfortunately, from a heart attack. But he wasn't into football, but like he loved boxing and cricket. But like many of his generation, the 1966 World Cup completely converted him. And he became football mad. And I was doing this match for ITV midweek, sports special, recorded highlights of Derby against Slovan Bratislava. And I said to Dad, do you want to come and sit with me? And he said, oh, I'd love to. So he comes up from Cambridge. We sit there. I introduce him to Clough before the match. And after the match, Clough walks past us. And he said, hey, come with me, Newbon. Mr. Newbon, come with me. And I thought he meant me. And he said, no, not you, your father. So he takes him in there. He introduces it to all the players. My dad saw these signs. What are these about? You know, it's, you know, God didn't invent grass to play football in the air. And the greatest crime in football is to give the ball away and all these things. And he's asking my dad about the war and his business. And I'm looking at my watch and thinking, I'm on a deadline here. They've got to get this to London. Anyway, he eventually comes out just in time. And he turned around to my dad and said, Mr. Newbon, Jack, if I may call you Jack, it's been an absolute pleasure. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to do some work with your son. And he turned around to me in front of my dad, who was only 5'7", and he felt 6 foot, my dad, because he said, by the way, Gary, I much prefer your father to you. You know, lovely. I was so grateful, honestly. It was wonderful. I mean, my dad died, I suppose, about 5 years later, and I thought, well, you know, Cluffy was terrific. And then when I had a stroke, he wrote me the most beautiful letter, short as it was, just saying, and he never really wrote letters. He just said, Gary, get well soon. We love you, Brian and Barbara Clough. And it was fantastic. And then he's, you know, there were times when we, you know, you have a bit of friction now and again, but because it was a long relationship. But I mean, I remember I lost my voice one day and I was meant to be introducing a highlight show from the ground after the match. And I turned up and I'd lost my voice. And my wife said, you can't do it. And I said, I'm not letting anybody else do it. So I turn up and he come, the first bloke I bumped into was Clough. Morning, Brian. What's the matter with you? I've lost my voice. There'll be 2.5 million people in the Midlands absolutely thrilled with that news and pissed off. You know, I mean, you know, that was, he came back with a doctor later on, but that was Cluffy, really. He just, the great thing about him, he never knew what he was going to come out with. And it's quite interesting that Alex Ferguson was brilliant with me. I've interviewed Muhammad Ali 3 times, Pele 7 times, Beckenbauer, Carl Lewis, all these people. Great names of sport. I've been very lucky. Number one, they asked me, Brian Clough, always the most intriguing interviewee. Didn't know what he was going to do, where I was going to be with him. An amazing guy. You know, he had everything, really, good and bad, but wonderful. And
of the millions of quotes, by the way, in this book.
Yeah.
I think the one that made you laugh out loud, because I hadn't heard it before, and you've heard many of them, is when Martin O'Neill asked him, why do you keep playing me in the second team? Because I don't have a third team.
Yeah. Well, Martin O'Neill is a very, in fact, he's on the back of my book. I've got some great quotes from people, including Martin, and a very clever guy, a law student who gave it up to play football. He was a bit too clever for Clough. He liked Clough and respected him, but I'm not sure Clough particularly liked him. And you know, when I'd be talking to Clough, he'd say, well, Archie this and my son Nigel and that. And our number seven, by the way, may not be as clever as he thinks he is. Anyway, it was a great story. And you know, he put him in the second team for quite a while, and Martin went in, and that was the answer. But when Martin was manager of Celtic, with John Robertson, who was a fantastic player on the wing for Nottingham Forest, I used to go and cover those matches for ITV when they played in Europe. One of the great atmospheres in Europe was Celtic, actually. And I'd go to the Hilton Hotel in Glasgow because I'd stay there, but because the team and Martin were there. And Martin and John Robertson, the three of us would sit in the lobby while the players were asleep, going over Clough stories. And there were so many, like, Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, but I wasn't on that particular job. I mean, stuff like that, just magic. I wouldn't say I'm the best manager in the world, but I'm number one for sure, you know, and things like that. I mean, he just came out with a mass of stuff, really. It was just very funny.